At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Modern relationships can contain many components, and one of them is to share location data. A couple can make the commitment to know where the other person is 24 hours a day. Not at all creepy. Kirsty Blake Knox has been writing about this in The Independent. Afternoon, Kirsty.
Hi, how's it going?
Can you do this on any class of a phone?
Yeah, so it's basically people like sometimes have started like AirTags. You know those AirTags? They were originally brought in, I think, to track keys. And then people started putting them like, you know, using them for other tracking advice for like their kids if they wanted to keep an eye on them and make sure they knew where they were. And there's also tracking your partner. Now, it's become kind of like tracking, like everyone has become increasingly popular. And so some people kind of see it as a potential red flag if you wanted to track your partner and their phone and their whereabouts. And they said no, because it might suggest that they're trying to conceal something or high dubious behavior. But there's family tracking apps that have like 50 million users worldwide. So it's becoming a growing thing that people do to keep kind of tabs on one another. And in the UK, there was a lot of coverage this week, about it, because Zara Tindall's daughter was photographed and she had an AirTag on her belt. And then it kind of started a discussion about people who also keep tabs on where their romantic partners are at all times.
Yeah. Now, I could see the logic in using an AirTag for a child because, you know, you don't want to lose them. Occasionally it happens. But I assume if it's two adults in a consenting relationship, they've agreed to this.
Yeah, so there was a couple of people who were interviewing. They were saying, like, you know, it's really handy because if I want to know that they're on their way home, it saves having to text if I can just check on my phone and see where their location is and see that they're on the bus and stuff like that. And or, you know, if they're at home making the dinner type of thing. And some people were saying, oh, I use it if my husband goes on like a cycle so that I can see whereabouts he is and how close he is to coming home and all this stuff. But it does kind of seem a little like an invasion of privacy. Like, it's not something I would ever feel comfortable doing, you know, or asking someone to do if I was going out with them, because I think it kind of like would turn you into a bit of a stalker, I think. If you were kind of habitually tracking where the person you're going out with is at all times. And I get the safety aspect of it that some people say, and the kind of reassurance maybe, but it just seems like it would kind of start devolving into obsessive behavior, surely. That's just what I think now.
Yeah. No, because I don't understand why someone would acquiesce to this. On the basis of everybody has, you're in a relationship, of course, and to save them the bother of texting to say, hey, where are you? How much hassle is that? That's, you know, where are you? That's, you know, how many letters is that? It's not that difficult to do. But kind of knowing exactly where they are is, that smacks more of surveillance. That smacks more of, I want to know everything you're doing.
It does. But there was an article last year in the New York Times and it was called I Love You, Let's Stalk Each Other. And it was about how younger generations, you can have Find My Friends apps on your phone, which kind of lets you know when your friends are within a certain radius of you or whereabouts they are. And they interviewed a lot of people and they were saying it was seen as like a term of affection or a kind of look how close we are. We share everything, even where we are at all times. And it was kind of viewed differently from like maybe an older generation who are kind of like, I don't want you to know that I'm in McDonald's at like 9 a.m. Saturday. that's private information that I want to keep to myself. So it might be a generational thing as well. But I think some people are kind of suggesting that if you balk at it and if you kind of are opposed to the idea, it could be kind of hinting that you're trying to conceal or hide something. And I don't know if it's just because we're nowadays so aware of everyone's lives all the time and the minutia of it and what they're doing, because we share so much in via social media and stuff like that, that we kind of almost feel entitled to know that information. But yeah, it definitely would make me kind of wary if someone suggested that I did it with my partner. If he said I want to do this, I'd be a bit kind of like, alarm bells would start to ring for me.
So say it's your birthday and your partner goes out shopping to buy you a birthday present, you know exactly where they've gone. So there's no surprise there.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of those, like all those little things you're kind of like, you'd be missing out on. And like I said, I get it when it comes to like, if you have kids, because you want to know where they are and keep them safe and everything like that. But I just kind of, like you said, that element of surprise. And I do think you do need... It's like everyone needs parts of their lives that are just for them and no one else knows about. And that isn't because they've got big secrets to conceal. It's just like you all need those kind of dull, confidential moments that, like you said, like going to shops that you... Like, you know, going shopping for someone that you don't want them to know that they're looking, that you're getting them a present and stuff like that. You need some privacy, but privacy seems to be something we give over so easily sometimes and without kind of thinking of the repercussions.
Yeah. But also it's odd that the way it's viewed, in that you either tell me absolutely 100% everything about your life, and if you refuse to do that, then there's something terribly wrong. You're probably having an affair, or, you know, you're a serial killer or something. That there's no middle ground. That seems to have just gone.
No middle ground. Yeah. It is kind of nuts how we've reached that stage. And if like people are like, kind of, you know, don't have like a social media presence, people sometimes say, oh, that's a bit weird or worrying. Whereas it could just be that you just couldn't be bothered. Like we kind of tend to read into these like they're some sort of like this minute detail is going to reveal it. Like you said, a terrible, terrible person. But yeah, like I said, I can understand it when it comes to like kids and stuff like that. And if you're an anxious parent, and there's some people who do it if their parents are getting a bit elderly in case they kind of wander off, that kind of makes sense to me. But I just kind of think, you know, and it, in a way, it kind of seems inevitable. If you start tracking your kids and your parents and you just start seeing that as normal, you might just start to normalize tracking, like, you know, your partner and your friends as well, and might not be able to see how that is a strange thing to do, you know?
How accurate are they in that, you know, does it say they're in the kitchen? Can you text someone and say, God, you're a long time in the toilet. What's wrong?
Well, there was an article in the UK Times yesterday, and the journalist said that she was tracking her husband. She woke up one night and he wasn't in the bed beside her, and he said he'd been going for a few drinks, and she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to track him now. And when she tracked him, she found out he was downstairs in the kitchen making a sandwich. Like, it's kind of bizarre, isn't it, that you would be like, I'm going to track that person instead of just ring them or go downstairs and like just have a look around the house, that your first thing is like, I've got to track them and see where they are. So yeah, it's definitely a funny one.
Yeah. God, it does imply though a lack of trust, really, because it's kind of an ultimatum almost, it would feel to me.
Yeah, I think so. And like ultimatums are always bad in relationships. I don't think anyone's ever done an ultimatum and it's been like, and we resolved everything very neatly after that. Like they don't tend to be the best outcomes for relationships. But yeah, like you said, I think that, and also if someone's kind of questioning whether you're a trustworthy person, like to me, that would be kind of a, I don't know if this is the person you should kind of end up with. And yeah, I would definitely kind of be a bit concerned if someone suggested I used it.
Yeah. Kirsty, wherever you are, thanks very much for talking with us today. That was Kirsty Blakenox there writing about that in today's Independent. Though Rachel says, I share a location with my husband and we find it very handy. He also follows the location of a few of his friends who travel the world for work and love seeing where they get to. I do joke that he's a stalker. Yes, he is a stalker. Most people in their 20s use Snap Maps on Snapchat to track their boyfriend or girlfriend. Someone else says, I suspect people track their partners, whether their partner knows it or about it or not. Now, I think you do have to kind of sneak into their phone without them knowing to turn on to the thingamajig that makes this work. But you may well be right. Mick says this is called spying on each other. In other words, there's no trust, not a dog's chance would I allow this. And I have a friend in County Sligo. Her husband had an affair and left her a few years ago. It didn't work out and he begged her to take him back, which she foolishly did. He now has her phone and her car's Bluetooth linked to his phone so that he knows her whereabouts at all times. He's also installed and surrounded the house with CCTV that is also linked to his phone. We have spoken to Women's Aid and the guards say, both say that she has to make a statement to the guards before they can help. How can that be right? It does. Well, I just on the basis of what you're saying there, it sounds very similar to coercive control, but I suppose the guards would be right in the legal sense that the person in question has to make the complaint about that and tell them how it is affecting their life. Gosh, I hope she's well.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.